Hello, this is Joy Ray Freeman. The following program was produced and broadcast during 2001. I am a master healer, spiritual warrior, writer, and workshop retreat facilitator. My intent is to assist those who are ready to become whole and productive contributors for creating a better world. Please check out my main website for empowerment and or healing opportunities. Joy, number 2, letter U, .org. Enjoy the program. This is Joy Ray Freeman, bringing joy to the world. If times seem a bit frantic, take a deep breath and open up your heart. Whatever you do, don't panic. For with every ending, there's a brand new start. Life is a work in progress, not a one-act play. You know you've gone through difficult times before. Choices we made earlier are what we're living with today. And if you'll only open it, this wall, too, will soon become a door.
In the angle of the light. Nature heaved a heavy sigh, resting up for next year's glory. The colder winds would shake the trees. Four-leaf clover will stay hidden, for pickle lock brought only greed. And these memories come unbidden in this leaning toward the night, where there's nothing without shadow and no dark without the bright. In the
In the name of the mighty victorious presence of God, I am in me and by the power and authority of the God force active within me, I decree. We, the light workers of earth, now active as a unified global light force, call forth the radiant, cosmic, golden light of beloved Lord Sananda, mighty Helios and Vesta, the spiritual hierarchy, and all legions of light serving planet Earth, to charge, magnify, and radiate in, through, and around us and the planetary body, magnetizing all positive forces into an invincible global golden light mandala, which is now cleansing, healing, energizing, and raising planet Earth into the immaculate conception of illumined Christ consciousness. The planet Earth is healed and sealed in light by cosmic light command. I am the ascension in the light, and planet Earth is now an ascending radiant sacred planet by cosmic light command. The light of God is eternally victorious, and I am that light in action now, by cosmic light command. I give thanks that it is done.
much in my mind. Another year has gone by, the past is far away, cry, but my childhood is not hard to find. Sweet smell of spring in the air, as we all gather round in the yard, then
Luxury need not have a price. Comfort itself is a luxury. By Joffrey Bean. When some people hear of simple abundance, they mistakenly believe the path is part of the new and much heralded frugality movement. This is not true, because the frugality movement of the 1990s is based on fear. And fear repels abundance rather than attracting it. Instead of practical wisdom such as a penny saved is a penny earned, we are given parsimonious exhortations to transform dryer lint into Halloween costumes. Simple abundance is not about deprivation, nor is it about spending more than you can afford in order to make yourself feel better. Simple abundance has become a daily meditation on the true comfort and joy of moderation, as well as gentle instruction on how to become open to receiving the goodness of real life. The universe is not stingy. We are. Some of us have very stingy souls. Perhaps not in how we treat others, our family, friends, and those less fortunate, but in how we treat ourselves. Yet how can spirit give more to us if our fists, hearts, and minds are clenched tight? Simple abundance is about finally learning how to release feelings of poverty and lack, replace them with feelings of prosperity and affluence. One of the ways in which we can start to experience more affluence in our daily lives is through pampering ourselves with affordable luxuries. Investing in a cord of wood for the pleasures of sitting before a blazing fire throughout the winter is one such luxury. Adding real whipped cream and shaved chocolate to a cup of cocoa to be drunk before the fire is another. It transforms a simple pleasure into complete contentment. Affordable luxury awakes our awareness to the abundance that's readily available to us once we finally get it. Many people think that simplicity frowns on luxury. The Shakers led lives of utmost simplicity, but the Believers, as they are known, also believed in the sublime luxury of eating well and the importance of using only the freshest ingredients, inventive spices, and herbs a century before Nouvelle Cuisine. In 1886, one visitor at the Shaker table pronounced his meal worthy of Delmonico's, a famous landmark in New York City where the wealthy dined. Think about affordable luxuries when you think about nurturing your personal style. What simple pleasures could make you feel more abundant? Perhaps wearing cashmere socks while you save for a cashmere sweater. Perhaps indulging in the intoxicating pleasures of your favorite coordinated scent, perfume, body talc, and lotion. The sensuous feel of silk underwear and pure cotton pajamas against your skin. Investing in a handsome leather bag that goes with everything. Trading in paper tissues for white linen handkerchiefs. Getting your hair done between regular visits. Encouraging your nails to grow. Replacing cheap plastic buttons on clothing with beautiful ones. Enjoying a facial or luxuriating in a body massage. Wearing special occasion jewelry, like your prized diamond stud earrings, on an everyday basis. Today, declare to the universe that you are open to receiving all the abundance it's waiting patiently to bestow. Each day offers us the gift of being a special occasion if we can simply learn that, as well as giving, it is blessed to receive with grace and a grateful heart.
Gonna keep on walking forward, keep on walking forward, keep on walking forward, never turning back, never turning back. Gonna keep on walking proudly. Keep on walking proudly. Keep on walking proudly. Never turning back. Never turning back. Gonna keep on singing loudly. Keep on singing loudly. Keep on singing loudly, never turning back, never turning back. Gonna keep on loving boldly, keep on loving boldly, keep on loving boldly. Never turning back, never turning back. Gonna reach across our borders, reach across our borders, reach across. across our borders, never turning back, never turning back. Gonna keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back.
How to plant a peaceful garden. Plant 3 rows of peas. Peas of mind, peas of heart, peas of soul. Plant 4 rows of squash. Squash gossip, squash indifference, squash grumbling, squash selfishness. Plant 4 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful. Let us be kind. Let us be happy. Let us really love one another. No garden should be without turnips. Turn up for service when needed. Turn up to help one another. Turn up the music and dance. Water freely with patience and cultivate with love. There is much fruit in your garden, because you reap what you sow. To round out the feast from our garden, we must have time. Time for fun, time for rest, time for ourselves. Planting seeds for a garden of peace nourishes the planet. By Rick Jackson. Thank you. It was one of the hottest days of the dry season. We had not seen rain in almost a month. The crops were dying. Cows had stopped giving milk. The creeks and streams were long gone back into the earth. It was a dry season that would bankrupt several farmers before it was through. Every day, my husband and his brothers would go about the arduous process of trying to get water to the fields. Lately, this process had involved taking a truck to the local water rendering plant and filling it up with water. But severe rationing had cut everyone off. If we didn't see some rain soon, we would lose everything. It was on this day that I learned the true lesson of sharing and witnessed the only miracle I have seen with my own eyes. I was in the kitchen making lunch for my husband and his brothers when I saw my 6-year-old son Billy walking toward the woods. He wasn't walking with the usual carefree abandonment of a youth, but with a serious purpose. I could only see his back. He was obviously walking with a little effort, trying to be as still as possible. Minutes after he disappeared into the woods, he came running out again toward the house. I went back to making sandwiches, thinking that whatever task he had been doing was completed. Moments later, however, he was once again walking in that slow, purposeful stride toward the woods. This activity went on for an hour, walk carefully to the woods, run back to the house. Finally, I couldn't take it any longer, and I crept out of the house and followed him on his journey, being very careful not to be seen, as he was obviously doing important work and didn't need his mommy checking up on him. He was cupping both hands in front of him as he walked, being very careful not to spill the water he held in them. Maybe 2 or 3 tablespoons were held in his tiny hands. I snuck close as he went into the woods. Branches and thorns slapped his little face, but he did not try to avoid them. He had a much higher purpose. As I leaned in to spy on him, I saw the most amazing sight. Several large deer loomed in front of him. Billy walked right up to them. I almost screamed for him to get away. A huge buck with elaborate antlers was dangerously close. But the buck did not frighten him. He didn't even move as Billy knelt down. And I saw a tiny fawn laying on the ground, obviously suffering from dehydration and heat exhaustion, lift its head with great effort to lap up the water cupped in my beautiful boy's hands. When the water was gone, Billy jumped up to run back to the house, and I hid behind a tree. I followed him back to the house, to the spigot that we had shut off the water to. Billy opened it all the way up, and a small trickle began to creep out. He knelt there, letting the drip slowly fill up his makeshift cup, as the sun beat down on his little back. And it came clear to me. The trouble he had gotten into for playing with the hose the week before, the lecture he had received about the importance of not wasting water, the reason he didn't ask me to help him. It took almost 20 minutes for the drops to fill his hands. When he stood up and began the trek back, I was there in front of him. His little eyes just filled with tears. "I'm not wasting," was all he said. As he began his walk, I joined him with a small pot of water from the kitchen. I let him tend to the fawn. I stayed away. It was his job. I stood on the edge of the woods watching the most beautiful heart I have ever known working so hard to save another life. As the tears that rolled down my face began to hit the ground, they were suddenly joined by other drops, and more. I looked up at the sky. It was as if God himself was weeping with pride. Some will probably say that this was all just a huge coincidence, that miracles don't really exist, that it was bound to rain sometime. And I can't argue with that. I'm not going to try. All I can say is that the rain that came that day saved our farm, just like the actions of one little boy saved another.
Everybody's born with a box. You get it when you're just a little baby, a little bitty baby. And everything you are is in the box. Everything you're meant to become, no room for a maybe. Papa looks in, Mama looks in. Whatever they see is who you'll be. Everybody's born with a box, with walls to the side and a ceiling. It's quite a good feeling. You know just exactly where you are, and even though you can't see the stars, it's snug and appealing. You gotta watch out, you gotta look out for yourself, and stay dry-eyed, and stay inside. Never thought for a minute that there could be much more in it, but what's it for? Anyway, everybody's born with a box, and if what's in your box doesn't fit, you're a toxic disaster. Feet to the shoes, run faster and faster. Teacher looks in, boss looks in, kids look in, people look into the box. And no matter what else, that's who you.
Square Pegs, Learning How to Fit into Round Worlds by Philomena Lila Deasy. I have noticed a common thread among people who are magnetically drawn to spirituality and those who seek out holistic avenues for wellness and healing. Many have spoken about feelings of isolation and loneliness while growing up. Some were labeled as misfits. Others felt that they did not belong either in the classroom, on the playground, or even within their own families. They will often describe themselves as having been the black sheep among their siblings. They continue to carry the perception of not belonging into their adulthood. Uniqueness didn't win us any personality contests. We weren't all labeled as the cooties, nerds, or geeks. But some of our actions or personalities were looked upon as different. Others found our ideas bizarre or goofy enough that some of us eventually found it more comfortable to turn ourselves inward, hiding our unique selves from further scrutiny and possibly ridicule. When I attended junior high school, there was a nasty fad going around among the girl students. Although the slam book fad was started by one of the more popular crowds, it quickly grew more widespread. Each girl would buy herself a spiral notebook, and on the top of each page, she would write out a person's name. The book would be passed around among her friends. Each friend was to write out a negative sentence or two on each page for that particular person, to put them down, to slam them. Sarah is a fat slob. Brent's breath smells, etc. And those are mild examples from what I had heard. Needless to say, there were a lot of hurtful words written down. It was a hateful fad, and I'm grateful to say that I never participated in it. As far as I know, my name never appeared in any of those notebooks. I was a quiet girl who kept to myself. Few people took notice of me one way or another in the school. Looking back at that time, I realize it was just as well that I wasn't noticed, because I don't know that I could have withstood being made fun of in this manner. It was extremely a sensitive time for me, and I took things to heart. Meanness would hurt me to the core. As it was, I was already being affected negatively by merely noticing the harm done to my fellow classmates. It was disheartening and regretful. I think this may have been the exact time, about age 12, when I first realized that I was a square peg. I wasn't popular, nor was I unpopular. I was almost invisible. This is when I became square peg challenged to begin looking at a personal issue which involved my conflicting desires of wanting to be noticed favorably versus not wanting to be seen negatively. Where do I fit in? Says the square peg while overlooking a pegboard full of round holes. Not here, says the world at large. So the square peg journeys endlessly in search of somewhere outside the world to fit in, ultimately seeking inward. Each square peg that I've spoken with has a similar story to share that set them apart from others. Square pegs are gradually uniting. We are sharing the insights. Our seeking adventures have rewarded us, ever growing and expanding our awareness and inner knowings. For square pegs, seeking becomes a driving passion that continues throughout a lifetime. Those who aren't the typical square peg will occasionally find a sharp edge that they feel needs rounded and walk along our well-treaded pathways. No matter if you are square-pegged or slightly jagged-edged, I hope you will discover that okayness of not being perfectly rounded, deciding to embrace your imperfections and oddities. We may feel as if we don't fit into the world any better than that oversized hand-me-down jacket fit us when we were a kid. But we must not forget how that jacket kept us warm and guarded from the harsh elements. The world offers us shelter and provisions. This planet is our home while we wear our human garment. And although we may not always feel as if there is a place in it we fit into, our spirits do belong here. A little old couple walked slowly into a McDonald's restaurant that cold winter evening. They looked out of place amid the young families and young couples eating there. Some of the customers looked admiringly at them. You could tell what the admirers were thinking. Look, there is a couple who's been together through a lot, probably for 60 years or more. The little old man walked right up to the cash register, placed his order with no hesitation, and paid for their meal. the couple took a table near the back wall and started taking food from the tray. There was one hamburger, one order of French fries, and one drink. The little old man unwrapped the plain hamburger carefully, cut it in half, placed one half in front of his wife. Then he carefully counted out the French fries, dividing them into two piles, and neatly placed one pile in front of his wife. He took a sip of the drink. His wife took a sip and then set the cup down between them. As the man began to eat his first few bites of hamburger, the crowd began to get restless. Again, you could tell what they were thinking. That poor old couple, all they can afford is one meal for the two of them. As the man began to eat his French fries, one young man stood and came over to the old couple's table. He politely offered to buy another meal for the old couple to eat. The old man replied that they were just fine. They were used to sharing everything. Then the crowd noticed that the little old lady hadn't eaten even one bite. She just sat there watching her husband eat and occasionally taking turns sipping the drink. Again, the young man came over and begged them to let him buy them something more. This time, the lady explained that no, they were used to sharing everything together. As the little old man finished eating and was wiping his face neatly with a napkin, the young man could stand it no longer. Again, he came over to their table and offered to buy some food. After being politely refused again, he finally asked a question of the little old lady. "Ma'am, why aren't you eating? You said that you share everything. What is it that you are waiting for?" She smiled and answered, "The teeth."
Turn your dust to gold, but it child to see diamonds in the cold. It's not so easy when the habit takes a hold. I never knew it would be so hard to keep my simple soul.
There's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing we do all the time. We hear the radio, traffic, children playing, and other people talking, laughing. The sounds of activity are all around us. Sometimes what we hear is just background noise, or we tune it out. But listening is something different. Listening is hearing with focus and purpose. Listening is hearing for information. Listening is tuning in, paying attention, and paying heed to what is being said. For most of us, listening has become a lost art. Our culture is not quiet enough. We're bombarded with stimulation. We vie for attention. Our egos are always on display. We're so busy thinking about what we're going to say next that we don't really listen to what someone else is saying right now. Or we're so involved with our obsessive inner dialogue that we don't take time to listen to what life itself has to say. Some voices and sounds are more worth listening to than others. We must learn to practice elegant selection in order to listen to the highest and the best. In every generation, there are certain persons born unselfed, with a love in their hearts that is not entirely self-love, a love that looks across the visible horizon and wonders, "What can I do to help?" To such persons, divine impartations are revealed. Florence Nightingale was one of the unselfed persons of the world, and certainly Christopher Columbus played a big part in freeing the world of its bondage to time and space. Freedom is a many splendored thing and has many facets. So it is that here and there individuals receive impartations from the infinite source, which is divine consciousness, and these individuals draw others unto themselves. In this way, the ideals of political, economic, racial, and religious freedom are spread over the earth. There will always be instruments of God on earth, because in every age there are persons born who are attuned with their source, but of themselves men and women are nothing. The age of material power is a thing of the past. We are now living in the age where spiritual power is beginning to be understood. And spiritual power means non-power. It means to resist, not evil, to abide in the Word and let the Word abide in you. It is I, be not afraid. I in the midst of you is mighty. put up your sword. All power is in the hands of the infinite, the eternal, and it operates through grace. How do you make this come true? By knowing it. This truth cannot make you free without your knowing it. You have to ponder truth, meditate upon it in your innermost secret sanctuary, and it will establish itself externally in miraculous ways. Tune in your receiver and stay tuned. We are moving closer to the peace and love-filled life we are destined for. We just have to cross a bit of rough turf on the way. Thanks for listening. Until next time, this is Joy Ray Freeman, wishing joy to the world.